Welcome to the Business Between Bells podcast, a space for those trying to build sustainable businesses between school drop-off and pick-up. This podcast is here to support you while juggling parenthood, business, and school life. Now introducing your host, Katie Mains.
You are listening to episode 4 with Jade McKenzie from Event Head. Before I introduce you to our fabulous guest, Jade, I just wanted to pop in and say a massive thank you to all of you for your beautiful feedback and support for this podcast. Like anything new, I had a lot of fear putting this out there. In all honesty, I've been wanting to do a podcast for 3 years, so to put it out there and feel so supported and loved, it has really spurred me on, and I thank you very much for that. For those who have sent me DMs, emails, and left a review, it's absolutely made my day. I also wanted to say that this podcast is for mums and dads, and I realise it's been very mum-heavy to start with. I've got some great dads lined up to interview in the coming weeks, which I can't wait to share. But if you are a dad, or know of a dad in business who'd be great to interview on the show, or a couple working on a business together, please DM me or email me at katie@katiemains.com. I'd also love to hear your feedback, and please do let me know of any topics you'd like me to cover in future episodes. So now, let's start the show. This guest is a special one to me, as she was my very first business coach. Jade McKenzie is the founder of event agency Event Head, which she launched 6 years ago. Since then, she's gone on to create She Academy, the Reawaken Woman podcast, Beautiful Business Builders, and is also an internationally award-winning business coach and a trainer with the Beautiful You Coaching Academy. Jade has worked on both international and Australian event tours with clients including Melissa Ambrosini, Denise Duffield-Thomas, Gala Darling, Rebecca Campbell, and the UN Women National Committee Australia. Pretty impressive. I love this chat with Jade, which really felt more like a conversation with many laughs over a coffee. Although come to think of it, we don't drink coffee, so no doubt a chai and herbal tea. In this episode, we discuss blending your business with baby. Jade's daughter Cerise is now a big six-year-old, but Jade started the business when she was just a baby and shares her experiences around this and how Cerise has always been a big part of her business, even going on world event tours with her. We also talk about the transition from childcare to school. I really appreciate Jade's honesty and vulnerability in this chat, where she shares her experience with business burnout, a challenging year where she became a single mother, and how after a whirlwind six years, she's slowing things down, which knowing Jade is probably me in fast forward mode, but in all seriousness, the realities of business burnout and how she overcame it.
So thank you so much, Jade, for joining me today. I can't wait to have this chat with you.
Aw, thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about everything.
I know, there is a lot to cover. Now, I thought we would start. I just wondered, I know that you started the business Event Head when your daughter Cerise was a baby. So you've basically, I guess they've grown up together. And I just wondered if you can tell us about that and where the business is today.
That's so funny because they did grow up together. I started Event Head when Cerise was 12 weeks old. And I don't know, I feel like, and I really want to ask you if you felt the same, but when it got to the end of the fourth trimester, as they call it, the first 3 months with your babe at home, like I found I had a real sense of urgency to create. Like I just wanted to build something and grow something and have a legacy or do something other than change nappies and breastfeed and feel like a cow. But did you feel that? Did you have that sense of, oh my gosh, I really want to get back into it?
I didn't at 12 weeks. And I just think that's so impressive that you started the business then. But this creativity came back to me that I hadn't had for years and years. So it wasn't so much the motivation for work at that stage, but it turned into that. But I just wanted to be creative and I started doing these creative things that I hadn't done for years before. So I love hearing that because I often find, I know, say with my mother's group, I couldn't find anyone else who was experiencing that at the same time. But for you to then go and turn that into a business at 12 weeks, I think is pretty remarkable.
Look, I had baby brain. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, I feel like doing this, so I'm going to do this. And that's my personality. If I feel like I should be doing something, like I feel pulled. I feel like any woman who is passionate about their career or their projects or their business feels the same pull, or even that pull to become a mum. But when I have those feelings, I honestly can't ignore it. It's like a magnet. It draws me. So Event Head back then, of course, wasn't like it is today. And it did have to grow along with my baby. And I was lucky because I had business development experience from the decade beforehand. And I had managed a charity and I had been an office manager and PA and EA and done marketing and all of these things, which allowed me to build a business and potentially a lot quicker than other people who had to start from the start. But it still had to grow and it still had to be nurtured. And it's been really nice having Cerise be part of that journey and to have them be intertwined almost, because for me, my business is my life. It's not just, oh, here's a spreadsheet with numbers and profit and turnover and services, and everything that I do and I feel is from a place of purpose, and everything that underpins my whole business and my whole life is meaningful connection. And so Cerise was always coming to events. So my business Event Head is focused on events, either helping people create them and me managing them with my team, or teaching small business owners and entrepreneurs how to do their own. And with the events that I did in person, Cerise would often come afterwards. And she'd come overseas with me or go across Australia with me. And she's grown up in this environment where she sees a mum working, but it's a different kind of work. So where Event Head is now is I have my agency, which is the part of the business that does the tours and the event for our big clients. And then I have my coaching side of things, which is helping business owners and entrepreneurs do their own event, or I help with business coaching. Then I've got all my passion projects. So Reawakened, my podcast for women in transition, because now I'm a single mum. That's what the podcast focuses on with my co-host, Vari. We're both single mums who separated from their husbands and it was our choice to move on. And I've got my ebook home, and which is on my personal website, Jade McKenzie, which is just a reflection of the things that goes on in my life and in my head. And I'm a trainer for the Beautiful You Coaching Academy, because that's where I got my life coaching certification. And I did the first ever course and I've been a trainer there for 4 years. So lots of things have come up. And honestly, I think having Cerise has inspired so much, because it's a purpose that's been, I guess, developed for really getting outside of myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I know you've done a lot of work in charity, so much. And of course, that passion stems from wanting to help other people and serving the world in a really beautiful way. But to have a daughter and to go, well, what do I believe in and what do I want for her? That changes everything. It changes your whole perspective on life.
Absolutely. That's really, it's quite beautiful, Jade, the way that you put that, because I think that that's something that's always been so obvious to me with you, is that Cerise is such a part of your business and your business is such a part of your life, both of your lives, and that that blend just seems almost effortless. And I think that even for me, someone who works from home and tries to incorporate the business into my life as much as possible, you often see that it is still quite separate, but I think it would make life easier if you kind of could perfect that blend more. And as you said, what a great experience for her to be able to grow up that way and see you growing as well with the business. I think that's just awesome. And that was something I wanted to ask you was, so I know I've seen photos of you holding Cerise at your launch party and she's like this tiny bub on your hip, and then traveling with you around Europe on event tours. And then I remember last year, it was the year before, she went sort of on a big tour up the east side of Australia with you.
Yeah.
Is that something that is easily done, or is that challenging? Like, how do you do that?
I don't know how to answer that because you kind of just make a choice and do it.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You know what? It's hard either way as a mum. Cerise doesn't always travel with me. And when she does, it's hard. When she doesn't, it's hard. And I think the business that I'm in allows for that. The business I've created for myself allows that. It's a luxury that I am able to have something in my life where I do get to share it with my child in this way. It's very different to what I experienced growing up, and I know that it's not the norm. And with the Goddess Road Trip last year, that came about because five women that I just adore and call friends, we decided to go on this tour called the Goddess Road Trip. And I think we sold 11 events in 7 different cities. And there was no question that Cerise was going to be a part of that. But that was only possible because I was working with women who love and know Cerise and are nurturing themselves and have no issue with it. So there's a time and a place for having your kids at things. Sometimes it's really distracting, and especially with events, I could never bring her to somewhere like Crown and bump in for a big gala dinner.
Yeah.
So I think it's just around the choice of, okay, well, does this feel good for the both of us? Is this going to work? Could I make this work? Is this something that would be valuable for her learning or their learning, and a beautiful shared experience between us? And when it does work, it's been amazing. And other times where I've seen that it's not appropriate, she has stayed at home and been in the care of her father. But logistically, it's just easier when they're with you, I feel. Less.
Yeah.
Favors. Oh, we don't know what that's like. Oh my God, can you please look after the kids then? And then you have to make sure that everything is right and they've got their pajamas. I just feel that is really overwhelming. I'd rather just have her with me and air it out.
But have there ever been any moments where Robert Kelly, the BBC reporter who had his come in during the live broadcast, I always laugh when I think of that. Have there ever been any moments like that?
Yeah, she's nuts, this child, honestly. But the road trip, there was one event in particular. So they were all themed around different goddesses and they had different energies. And there were two times, it was one in Canberra, and the energy was quite soft and serene and very, very quiet. And then you have this boisterous four-year-old
oh, no.
On fire. She just, and I had to take her out of the room. She helped greet all the guests, but then I was like, oh, we cannot stay in this room. I had to take her out and miss the event, and that was fine. And then we went home early and just left the others to it. And then in the Sunshine Coast for our last event, it was great. We had this party in this house and we called it Lakshmi Palooza, and we had all of these little things happening, and so the energy was exciting and getting into so many things. But then there was a point of the night where we all came and we sat in circle, and again, it's very quiet, subdued energy, very peaceful, very calm.
Yeah.
And then there's my daughter going into the middle of this massive circle in this house. And I can send you a photo to give you context.
Oh, no.
There was like this beautiful altar with candles and petals and flowers. And then there was a bug. And my child decided to take, you know, the bowls?
Yeah, yep.
Music sound bowls. And then you've got the stick that's like the mortar and pestle stick. She got that. And we're all watching, and oh, no. She was about to squash this cricket or something, and we're like, no. And then she refused to, she was dancing around the middle of the circle with the candles, and she was refusing to move. And I had noticed when she had crossed her legs in the circle that she wasn't wearing underwear.
Oh, no.
And so she said, the only way you'll get me out of here is if you pull me. So I got her two legs and she lay down because she loves, you know, kids love being pulled.
Yep.
And I got her two legs and I was pulling her out, but she wasn't wearing underwear.
So oh, no.
Here on the floorboards was in the complete silence and like four women's eyes on me. And all you could hear was,
oh, no.
on the floorboards as she's getting dragged away. And
oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I really hope you got that on camera.
We didn't, but it was, we laugh about it all the time because only my child, like, you know, and we can all identify with those moments, but
oh yeah,
entertaining. You can't stress about it. You just got to laugh and
go with the flow. Oh, that's hilarious. But isn't it funny? Like, as stressful as things like that can be at the time, or hilarious, they're always going to be funny later. I just think that they're probably the best memories.
And you can't sweat it. What I notice at the start of being a parent is that you apologize a lot, not just for yourself, but for what's happening. Oh, there's crying, or it's a bit chaotic, or your house is a mess, or smells like nappies, or whatever. And you just have to get to a point where you're like, it is what it is. Like, if anyone's going to judge, that's on them. And you've just got to surrender to the moment, because parenting is hard enough without you putting pressure on yourself to be perfect or do things right all the time or have a perfect child or
ideal
experience. And with events, I think I learned that early on doing them. It's nothing will ever go to plan, you know?
Yep.
So what can you do?
Well, actually, thinking like that, events and kids are quite similar. Raising kids, because you're right. Nothing ever goes to plan with both, I think. So it's probably, you know, a good mix. Why not just throw them both together?
Chaotic enough already. Just throw it in.
Yeah,
have some animals while we're at it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, why not? Why not? Oh, I've done that. I'm doing that at the moment. Yes.
I know.
Why not? Yeah, worked with them all. I love those insights. Thanks, Jade, because I think that is so important that, as you said, I think it is important that we don't apologize, and that many of us are building these businesses with young children. And a lot of the time we can create them the way that we want to create them. So we can have clients who are other mothers and can completely understand and relate to what's happening. And as you said, if a client doesn't, you know, there are some issues when these things happen, perhaps at that particular point in time, that client isn't the right client. Sometimes I guess we just have to pivot and make these things work. But that was really, really funny. And I think that that's great just to hear. And it just gives people some ideas of what they can do, or an example of what they can do, which they may have thought that they couldn't do with their kids.
Yeah.
It's really obvious to me through this conversation too of how many different projects you're working on. And they're lots of fun, creative things. And I know that you're a real action taker. And as you said at the start, if you've got sort of this urge to do something, you just go ahead and do it.
Mm.
I think that that's something really beautiful about business. I didn't know going into it. It's a real positive thing about it that you can actually make it what you want to make it. And you can start creating these things that you really want to create. Can you tell us a little bit about this? You mentioned earlier your book that you wrote, Home, which I loved, and it did cover a lot of this. I wondered if you could tell us a bit, well, firstly, about these projects that you do, but also about Home and what made you write it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like I said before, I can't really ignore these feelings. And I don't even know if it's so much a feeling as a birthing. It kind of feels the same. And there really is this innate sense of it's got to come out. It's got to happen. I'd have to bring this vision to life. And so a lot of things, so Event Head came around because, as I mentioned, everything that underpins everything I love in life is meaningful connection. And I had to bring that to life somehow. I didn't know I would have an events business at all. That's not how it started. But that was a value that was so important to me that I needed to create a framework in which I could bring something to life and have a go for the first time in creating my own business instead of building up somebody else's. And I just looked at my skills and experience, but also my passion and my why and the things that I've loved doing in the past. And it all pointed to the same thing. And that was community and connection and events and helping people in that way. And so it started as Party Styling and Hire. And I was hanging around entrepreneurial circles because that's my absolute, I can't say passion again, man. I need a thesaurus before I start talking. But I love being around entrepreneurs. I always have admired that. And as I had started hanging around in those circles more, they were asking me to coach them, to consult with them, to do their events, to help them. And that's how my business moved from styling and hire for parties, for birthday parties and charities and corporate, into the space that I'm in now, which is female entrepreneurs who have a message that they want to share. And it just grew from there. So it was really answering a calling and looking at how I could bring that to life. And I feel like, so have you heard of human design?
No.
I've just done the craziest session about a month ago with this woman called Roz Isbell, who I love and I've known for many years, but she does human design and it talks about your personality types, but in a much, much deeper way than numerology, astrology, or all of those things, the Myers-Briggs scale. And I have loved and done all of those. I've done every testing possible, especially in corporate days.
Yes,
where they just protest at you.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
But human design is, there's nine centers and they have all these gates and it talks about your defined and undefined centers. And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm a manifesting generator. That's my personality type broadly. And the way that we work is that we wait for an invitation or for something to happen, and then we create, and we're really good at creating, really good at manifesting and making things come to life.
Yeah, right.
And so I feel like when I reflect back now, I can see that with Event Head, I was getting asked by entrepreneurs to help them. And that's how I grew my business to what it is and have an agency and have all of that and all of the success. And then with Reawakened Women, I had caught up with my girlfriend and my co-host, Vari, and we hadn't spoken really in depth for a year or so since we'd last seen each other. We caught up one night and we could see things were happening on our socials. We're like, whoa, there's something there. We drank and we started talking about our lives and they were in parallel. And we were like, oh, we need to do this. Because imagine, like, we need to do something. And I thought, oh, let's do an event.
Yes.
And I was like, how many women feel like this? Like, we feel so alone. But when we're together, it's like, oh, yes, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it later. I went home drunk, had a drink. That I started a podcast called Reawakened Women. And I woke up the next morning and immediately texted Vari and she said, yeah.
No way.
So that's how that came to be. And then with Home, that's an ebook about my personal experiences in life. And thank you so much for reading it and saying you loved it. That really means to me.
Yeah, no, I did. I read it actually at the most perfect time. I needed it. Like I needed just to remind myself, I guess, of what I was doing. And I encourage everyone to read it because I think at any point it would be useful. But no, I did. I got so much out of it.
Thank you. I had talked about the idea with my girlfriends at a retreat and they were like, yes, that sounds amazing. I was like, I just feel like I've got a story in me that could help people not feel so alone, which obviously is a reoccurring theme in my life because, as you know from reading the book, I always felt like an outsider. I never felt like I fit in. And even though I had lots of beautiful friends and family around me, I just felt so different. As soon as I'd spoken to people about the book and told a few other people what I was doing, there was more and more interest in it and more people saying, okay, well, when's it coming out? I want to read your story.
Yep.
And so it's interesting to see that they were always like existing ideas within me. But when I've had that invitation, when I've been called to do something, I've really stepped up to the plate and then it's just kind of gone bleh.
Fantastic though.
Everywhere.
But that is so good because often I know a lot of people get that tap, you know, the Elizabeth, it sort of reminds me of what, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert's big magic, getting the tap of that idea, or as you said, the dream, but then they don't follow through. But it sounds like that tap is so strong for you that you can't ignore it. It has to happen.
I can't.
Great. because it makes it happen.
Yeah, but I'm sure you feel the same way with different projects and different things. Like you physically cannot move forward another day without starting or doing or adding to it. I don't know, it's just compelled.
It is funny, isn't it? Because if you do have something like that and you can be so busy in other areas or have other projects of your business that are taking over, but if there is something there, you're right, that is really strong, it's funny how you can reprioritize things if you really want to.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really fascinating. I think that's really interesting. And yeah, it's just, I love hearing the different perspectives from different people of how they make their ideas, I guess, come to life. So thanks for sharing that. Now, I wanted to ask you something. I know just through conversations with other business owners, and we talked about events, I guess, and how stressful they can be, but it's about overwhelm and business owners. And also I think particularly for those who have kids, I just wondered if overwhelm is something that you struggle with, because you've obviously got so many projects on the go, and if you do experience, how you work through it.
Overwhelm. Yeah, totally. Who doesn't?
I know.
I'd love to know what you're doing. Yeah, overwhelm. And it comes up in sneaky ways. Sometimes it's really physical. You're physically overwhelmed with the sheer amount of things you need to do, from like laundry. Like, oh God, the laundry. I can't even deal. Laundry.
Shut the laundry door.
Yeah. Pickups, sleepovers, kids stuff. It's just sometimes it can be like that. And that, yeah, I guess for me, it's really looking at when I have that kind of overwhelm, I go to myself, okay, well, what really needs to be done? And what am I just annoyed about because it's not how I would like it, but I need to let that go?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I would love the dishes done and my washing done, but I have to focus on my work right now. We're being here having this beautiful conversation with you right now. So I have to make the conscious choice to let that go. And that helps with my overwhelm. And then there's like the mental overwhelm, and that comes from working or being an employee or a business owner. And I use Asana, and honestly, it's so good. It's a project management software, which is free, but I would literally use it for my life if I didn't have a business.
Yeah.
Because you can put things in there, you can create project boards. It's kind of like a one-up from your family calendar.
Yeah, and you're an Asana whiz.
Oh, thank you.
I know from doing coaching with you, you really are. You've got it all sorted and down pat.
Yeah. Because you can put everything into sections and organize anything. And I feel like I have this mental weight if it stays in my brain, because then you're like, oh, I have to remember this, I have to do that, and that needs to get done. But if I put it into something external, so it doesn't have to be Asana, if it works for you, then a calendar or a notebook or your written diary. I've got a written diary as well. Then I just need to brain dump it, and I need to put it somewhere where I know when it's time, I'll pick back up on that. So with Asana, you can organize it in different ways, but then you can assign it to yourself or to somebody else, which is great when you have contractors or staff, and then put deadlines around it. So then you get an email just before it's due saying this is coming up. And that takes away so much overwhelm, because then I just know that future Jade will take care of it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so present Jade can just focus on the things that I need to do right now, because I used to try and do everything at once. And I think we can all relate to that, but it's not sustainable and it makes you feel so worn out. And I just found that it was a really great solution for me personally and professionally.
So you use it personally too. So it's not just for business, like you put your sort of life and it's a Reese's sort of school things in there, or is that more the calendar?
The calendar is the school stuff and all of that. But then a lot of our travel plans and everything have to be organized well in advance. So
great. I love that. Yeah, future Jade will look after it. I think that's really good. I think that's a great way to look at it, though, because you're right. Otherwise, you can just get so caught up in it, and just getting it out onto paper or out into Asana or calendar, whatever you use, I think that's really important. Something I saw, Jade, recently, you posted on Instagram about how for the last 6 years you've been in business, you felt like you were always rushing. Mm-hmm. And I know this is something that I think nearly all business owners could relate to. So I thought that that was really great that you shared that. And I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about that and how, I guess, you're putting measures in place to slow down.
Yeah. So, well, that realization came about only because I'm literally right now recovering from burnout and getting through the hangover of marriage separation and a relationship that was going on 13 years and married for 10.
Yeah.
And so we separated November, December 2017. God, I don't even know what year it is anymore, but yeah, 2017.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was living with Cerise. I was her full-time carer and still running my business full-time, more than full-time.
Yeah.
Looking after all of my clients, looking after Cerise. Then we lost our lease because I knew I could only afford the rent for the next 6 months and that's all I wanted to commit to.
Yes.
And then I wanted to re-sign when I knew I had stability, but the landlord thought I was looking for other places, so he kicked us out after 6 months. And I was like, well, actually, we were going to re-sign. And he was like, oh, so that's a lesson in not making assumptions about other people and just being communicative and having a conversation. And we'd bounced around. So technically, we were homeless for a bit, but not in a bad way, like we were on the street. We were house sitting for a friend for a month, and then we moved to Bondi for a month, and then we moved into the apartment that we've got now that we're renting. And all of this means that there were so many things on the go, obviously.
Yeah.
Many plates spinning, balls in the air, whatever little example you want to put in there.
Yeah.
And I think everything just came to a head. Everything crashed when I finally got into a place where I felt settled and felt like home. And then going into grade one with Cerise and it having take up more time being a school mum, which I kind of don't identify with that term, but having to be present in that school, I just came to a crashing halt. And I was getting to the point where I couldn't really do anything but sleep and do the bare minimum, show up for my clients, but other than that I was a carcass. I was a shell.
I can completely understand to have to go through all of that and just to keep, as you said, everything spinning and going. I think all humans, that would happen to everyone, so that's just so admirable that you kept it going to the point that, you know, you've kept the business going, and now I can see this year you've just been, you know, flying ahead. But that's something that is really tough for people in business, for everyone. But if you go through these things in family life and personally and tough times, it's not as if you can just take annual leave or sick leave or stress leave, like you're in it. So I think that that's really inspiring the way that you got through that. And then I guess, no, I do. And being a mum.
Didn't feel inspiring.
No. Well, wouldn't have at the time. But being a mum, I know you just have to, I guess.
Yeah.
You've got to be showing up to school and you've got to be there for Cerise. But yeah, you also need the money coming in. And I think that this is something that does happen to a lot of people. And it's probably not something that at the start of your business you anticipate happening. And it may not be a challenge like this. It might be some sort of other challenge, like a health challenge or something. But, well, you had like a really strong foundation in place for the business to begin with. So I guess having that would have helped.
Yeah, it definitely did, because I have coaching, which I can do online with anyone anywhere in the world. So I don't have to physically leave to do that. Unlike events, which are very much in-person, yes, setting up,
yep,
you know, yeah, being there, and that's physically exhausting. So I've dialed back the in-person events. We finished, so one of our clients is International Women's Day, so we did the Australian-wide events for that in March, and then the last couple of months I haven't done, so April, May, and this year there won't, this month there won't be any in-person events. No, did I lie? No, I think I lied.
I think
April we did events. Okay, whatever. I've dialed that back, yeah. But it wasn't until I was actually dialing everything back where I was sitting here, and I still, for a month, I was like, and I even said that to my new partner, I was like, I feel like my body is still moving at a million miles an hour, but I'm just sitting here. And that's when it hit me about the rushing.
Yes.
It's like, you know, when you're on a long haul flight and you get off the plane and you still feel like you're moving, but you're sitting in the.
Yeah, it's like on a boat as well.
Yeah.
Still rocking.
I had that. And then I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, I've been running off pure adrenaline for the last 6 years. And it got to a point where even when I had a day to relax, my body was still in this mode. And it's only now, maybe in the last couple of days or couple of weeks, where I've been like, oh wow, that's starting to be less and less and less. And so recognizing that in me, making sure that I really took the time, I was sleeping, like after April, I was sleeping twice a day, every day, like in the middle of the day. I could do work for 2 hours, sleep, then I'd get up, pick up Cerise, do all of that, whatever, and then go back to sleep for another 8 hours.
So you were catching up as well, probably, from the last 6 years.
Such
busyness. And isn't that interesting, the way our bodies, they tell us.
Totally. And so I think that for any mum who recognises that they feel like they rush, or that you're getting to the point where you have a day or some time off and you can't relax, you're always like, what am I forgetting? What haven't I done? Or what do I need to do? Or I need to do this. And you physically cannot be at peace in your body in that moment. You need to start implementing. So even if it's like a nap, like yeah. Even if it's getting in a bath, even if it's having an oil or a scent that you smell to trigger that relaxation. Meditation is always amazing. Or saying, okay, I actually really need to look at life as a whole. It's kind of not working, but what can I do to just make those foundations a bit stronger so I don't constantly feel like I'm running on adrenaline 24/7?
I totally agree. I think it's a trap. And also the more, it's just sort of, as you would relate, like once you start, I can remember saying this to you, I just feel like I'm a hamster on a treadmill. Mm. Not a treadmill. What are those things that they're in?
Yeah, the spinning wheel thing.
Yeah. And you feel like that in business. You know, one project leads to another. It is very easy to start feeling as if you're just treading water a lot of the time. And I think that that's really brave. Thank you, Jade, for sharing that, because you can easily look at those people around you and think, oh, wow, you know, look what they're doing and I'm not getting anywhere and they're doing these amazing things. But everyone's human mm-hmm. and we've all got the same amount of hours in a day. And for those who are listening, we're all parents as well, so we've got to juggle that also. So I think that that is a really important thing for us all to hear, that we need to find some sort of balance in some way. I hate the word balance, but we do, you know, between business and life and everything in between. So thank you so much for sharing that with everyone. I think that that will resonate with so many people.
No worries. Learn from my mistakes.
Isn't everything?
Yeah.
Actually, I was having that conversation with a friend in business the other day and they said exactly the same thing. They said, I've only got to this point through my mistake.
Yes.
It's a shame that's the way that we have to learn, isn't it? So yeah. I want to talk about school. I'd love to hear a bit from you, because you're, as we've discussed, you've had the business at all the different stages. So when Cerise was a baby, when she was a toddler, at preschool, and now at school. And I wanted to know, I guess there's been challenges at every step of the way, but can you talk us through, I guess, were there some stages that were harder than others? And is the school stage a difficult stage, or has it been much easier?
It's been harder, definitely. And
don't say that.
I know. Sorry, love.
No, it's good to know. I need to be prepared.
Oh, I wish I was prepared. I'm like you, like I didn't do mother's group. I went to one session. I was like, this is not for me. Cerise went to daycare when she was 8 months old and she was in there 3 days a week until she went to school. And that was really great because You can drop them off at any time after 7 a.m. And then you pick them up anytime before 6 p.m. And it's you can fit a full working day in there. And they take care of nappy changes when they're little, and they take care of all the food. They get fed.
Yes.
And they have their playtime and education time. And prep was great. I feel like it was a really exciting milestone. I hated it because I was so upset because my baby was growing up. But at the same time, I recognize how exciting it was for her.
Yep.
I can't be too selfish. And yeah, prep was fine. But I think then moving into grade one, so from the start of this year, I recognized that I wanted to spend more time. Now, I don't know. I feel like I was opposite to other women. So a lot of women I heard a lot saying, I want to spend time with the children while they're young, before they go to school, and then I'll go back to work.
Yes.
And you know, I was never like that. And we had a conversation about how Cerise was part of my business and she traveled with me and all of that.
Yep.
So we were firmly BFFs and doing the BFF circuit around the world together. So I didn't feel like 3 days in childcare, apart from when we were traveling, was being apart from her much. But then being in school, and especially grade one, where they've got a handle on everything and they're expected to be a bit more mature and they have homework now and there are real expectations set around their learning and their involvement, and also with you as a parent at the school, that started to weigh on me. And so I wanted to scale back on what I was doing and be able to be more present for her that way. And it took me back because I hated school personally. I just didn't want to do it, didn't want to be there.
Yep.
And now I'm like, oh, feels like I'm back at school all over again.
Oh, no.
And it's just the things that you need to do to prepare them. So, of course, the uniforms and doing that every week and knowing the sports day and library day. You have to do homework every night. You have to do a reader every night. You have to get things signed off. And then there's all the extracurricular things. So there's activities that they want to do. She used to do dancing. Now she does drama. But then they have like school sports carnivals. She just did a fun run and fundraising. And they always want parents to read or rap or do a gift stall or do a barbecue or do this and do that. And I was like, oh my God,
that's a lot.
You can't have a job until your children leave the house, apparently, if you were going to do everything that it took for you to become the world's best school mum, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, and the hours are shorter too.
Yes.
So you drop them off at 9 and then you have to pick them up at 3:30, which basically means from the hours of 7:30 or 8 till 9:30, you're out. And then from 2:30 to 4 o'clock, you're out because you're doing the pickup or getting ready or school snacks or whatever, you know?
It's such a shorter day, isn't it?
It is, and it's 5 days a week, and it's the same. Like, you talk about being on a hamster on a wheel. Like, mate, this is one wheel this hamster does not want to be on
for 13 years.
Yeah. And so I love watching her grow and the fact that she can read books on her own, and she says these words and she says things in context, and it's hilarious but so smart. And to see her grow and have these relationships and friendships and do these things is amazing. But I find it really tiring to be a school mum and a single mum.
Yeah.
All of these jobs every day. And so it's actually harder for me, I feel, to have her at school than it was before when she had daycare.
That's so interesting. I'm anticipating I was anticipating that could be the case. And so thank you for sharing that, because, well, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast, because Hannah's at kinder where she's going to go to school. And so this year I've started to see, oh, hang on a second. We've got the shorter hours and we're making the school lunches and we're getting the newsletter, and I'm seeing all of the requests that they're asking parents, really yet. And I'm thinking, hang on, we're going to have to adjust work life a bit here too, which is absolutely fine, but it's just good to be prepared. And so thank you for that insight. It has scared me, but But I think that it's real, and I think that it's really important that parents know that there is a lot involved. And it's really interesting what you were saying about you feel like you kind of have to be there for her, I don't know, more now even than maybe when she was younger.
Yeah, I do.
And I'm sort of getting that a little bit even with Hannah now in kinder a bit. And wanting that, I guess, as well, because as you said, there's so much stimulating conversation happening too. Not that it wasn't cute and absolutely adorable in the earlier years, but I guess Cerise may have times when she comes home from school and wants to sit with you and may have had some issues during the day. And I guess it's great, you being in business, that you can be there for her for those conversations, which might be more difficult if you're in a corporate role and getting home late. But yeah, it's not to say that that is certainly not easy. And as you mentioned as well, being a single mum, like it feels to me as if there's more pressure on parents now than there was when I was at school. And I don't know if that's because I wasn't a parent. My parents might.
Probably.
But it does feel a bit like that. And I actually was having a chat to Rhiannon Colarossi.
Oh, and
she was a primary school teacher, and she was talking about this and saying that even in the last 10 years, she's seen that there's been a change. Mm. So yeah, it is interesting. And I'm just wondering if it's the pressure of the schools or the pressure we put on ourselves. But yeah, it's an interesting one. And hopefully, I guess we find our groove as we go. But yeah, it might be a bit like mum guilt too, that hopefully we can find a way that we can make it all work and not feel pressured to have to be there for everyone and do all the things.
Exactly. And I am not a believer in mum guilt whatsoever. Like, I just tell everyone to throw that in the bin.
Yep. I wanted to ask you that actually, because I know your thoughts on that. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah. And so it shouldn't carry into a school setting, because you will be asked for a million different things all the time. Because, well, Cerise is in a public school, so I don't know if that's any different. I went to a private school when I was in high school, but I don't know if there's a difference between public schools not having enough funding, and that's why we're asked to do a lot more. But you can only do what you can do. They have to put it out there, and you don't need to feel like you have to do everything. But I wanted to be able to feel like I could be present. And I'm not a school mum by any means. Cerise's two best friends, their mums are actually my closest school mum friends now. We've got a nice little group.
Oh, that's great, because you can't choose your kids' friends. So that's worked out perfectly.
But it worked out so good. And now we're all single mums. Oh, and so
that's what a great support network.
Exactly. But that's how I show up. I'm like, I don't feel the need to be friends with everyone or look after everyone's kids or do everything and show up to everything. I'm like, this is what I can contribute. I'm happy with that. Yep. And I just want to show up for Cerise at the things like assemblies where she wins awards or she does presentations, or if she says, mummy, like she wanted me to go to her school open night because her artwork was up there. And so those things that are important to her, I want to go to.
Yeah.
And
yep.
So you can pick and choose what's best for you. You could do everything. You could do one thing, but don't carry that guilt or put that pressure. It's out there. It doesn't mean you have to do it. Take it.
Yep.
Be it. Do everything.
As you said, yeah, it sort of would pick those things that are important to you and your child. At the end of the day, that's really all that matters. I think it's actually a nice place to end here, Jade. I really appreciate just all that beautiful advice that you've shared about what to expect with the school years, but just how our kids are constantly evolving and changing, as are our jobs, our businesses.
And us.
Yeah, definitely. And us. So thank you so much for all those insights that you've shared, and for your honesty and just being so interesting. So many things on the go. It's beautiful to see, and I can't wait to watch what's in store for you over the next few years, considering how much you've built in the last six. But I'm also really happy to hear that you're also slowing down a little bit too and enjoying, I guess, what you've built with your business. So that's fantastic.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I really appreciate you having me and listen to me gabber on. But I love these conversations, because I feel like they're really needed. It's so nice to be able able to hear other people's experiences and maybe pick up on something that we feel similar about and, yeah, be honest about it all.
I agree. No, thank you so much. And if anyone wants to find you and also, as we mentioned, if you want to check out Jade's book Home, because I think a lot of what we've discussed today comes up in that, where can they find you and find the book?
So probably the best place to go is jademckenzie.me and everything is going to be in there. So, yeah.
Thanks so much again, Jade. And I look forward to, as I said, seeing what's in store over the coming not only months, but years.
Yeah, right back at you.
Thank you for listening to the Business Between Bells podcast. We need your help to reach more parents doing the juggle. If you have enjoyed this episode, Katie would love it if you could help spread the word by leaving a rating and review on iTunes. You can also find out more about Business Between Bells on Instagram and Facebook at Business Between Bells.